Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Brewers podcast joins you on a Tuesday morning. The Milwaukee Brewers are hovering around 500, trying to get into gear as the season has, at least last week, has gone pretty smoothly. All the games have been held. The Brewers splitting with the White Sox and dropping 2 of 3 at home against the Cincinnati Reds. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Milwaukee Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast. On the other line is Todd Rosiak, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covering your Milwaukee Brewers. After we chat with Todd, I also have an interview with Chris Mehring. He works for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, media relations director, radio voice, serves many roles. Getting a sense of what's going on in the alternate training site in Appleton, the 60-man group, the guys who are not on the active roster, participating up there. Thought that would be kind of an interesting insight. But first, Todd, let's talk about this Brewers team. We're recording this before Monday night's game, but Sunday proved to be a little bit of a respite for an offense that's really been struggling, very sluggish, and Christian Yelich was a big part of it, but really it seems to be across the board. Offensively, this team, I'm guessing at some point there's going to be, I know it's still a small sample, but the season itself is a small sample. I'm guessing there's going to be a little bit of concern if that continues, if they aren't able to break out like they were Sunday more often, because, that seems to be the theme of the season so far, is just an offense that just can't get into gear. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, and it starts from the top with Christian Yelich and Keston Hira not hitting particularly well. Obviously, both of those guys had good games yesterday and led to a big win. And the hope internally, of course, is that continues and that the rest of the offense can kind of springboard off of that. You know, you figure that Yelich and Hira would eventually at some point start hitting because they're really good hitters. To me, the story of that game was Justin Smoke showing signs of life. You know, 2 weeks into the season, I think people had already pretty much written him off as a bad signing and everything. And you know, it still remains to be seen, but, you know, to get some production out of him and out of the first base spot was obviously big. And if you can start getting more contributions from guys like him, you know, then maybe that's going to add a little bit to the continuity of the offense. And, you know, you're subtracting Logan Morrison today. You're adding Luis Urias. You know, Ben Gamel was obviously super hot, and now he's kind of cooled off a little bit here. You know, Jed Jerko has actually produced in the bits of time that he's played. Eric Sogard hasn't necessarily gotten a ton of hits, but he's been on base a lot. So, you know, there's guys that are doing stuff, but they're not really pulling it all together and putting together big innings and, you know, tacking runs on and, you know, basically stepping on teams' throats. So it'll be interesting to see here in this coming series against the Twins, which should be another good test for the Brewers, if they can carry over what they did Sunday, because I'm pretty certain they'd like to do that.
Good point about Justin Smoke, 3 hits, 2 doubles. We've seen him at first base a ton because Ryan Braun has been out with an injury. Smoke, being a switch hitter, is the type of guy who can play every day, and he has been, and it hasn't gone well for him. But like you said, maybe Sunday is a pivot point for him. As it relates to Christian Yelich, it seems like we did see some signs of life in that Cincinnati Reds series, particularly the last two games. He hit an opposite field homer in the second game of the series on Saturday, and then Sunday, really the first time I think we've seen Yelich just truly a vintage Yelich home run swing, where he just really got into one and hit it out to center field, pounded it off the center field scoreboard. Those two games, I feel like just aesthetically, we're seeing a different Christian Yelich. I mean, numbers can lie to you in any number of ways when the sample is small enough. There are a lot of star baseball players that struggled out of the gate. Ronald Acuna of the Braves was one, and he hit 3 home runs on Sunday. But what we were seeing from Christian Yelich is unlike, in my mind, what we've ever seen before, just visibly. We were seeing a guy who was striking out a lot, missing pitches in the zone that were just right there for him on a tee, swinging at pitches that weren't in the zone, trying to turn on inside pitches and being unsuccessful. Do you feel that was the case too, that you were visibly seeing a different Christian Yelich to start this season? And like we said here, maybe Sunday we're seeing now the actual Christian Yelich here.
Yeah, no question. I mean, he was swinging through pitches that he would normally crush, taking pitches he would normally crush, swinging at stuff that he wouldn't have normally swung at. you know, we talked to him after that game in Chicago with the inside the park home run, as you know, could this game potentially be a turning point? And you know, the home run is nice and everything, but you know, four walks and he saw 29 pitches total. It kind of gives you a little bit of insight as to he's feeling better up there. He's recognizing pitches. He's being more patient. He's making the pitchers throw to him. And ever since then, he's looked better. His swings have looked better. He's just looked more confident up there at the plate. And, you know, you've seen the results here the past couple games. And to get him, you know, it doesn't take long for him to get going and get red hot. So, you know, a couple homers in a few days is a good sign for him. And he looks like he's in a better place mentally now. I think a little bit of that pressure is off. You know, scuffling and seeing your average under 100, even though it's early, is pretty jarring. And he's up to 149 now. But, you know, a few more multi-hit games and you'll see that squeak up to 200. You know, you mentioned some of the guys that have been struggling. Look at Suarez, who came into the from the Reds, who came into this series. He was coming in, I think he was 4-for-40 on the season. Bellinger has been terrible. You know, you mentioned Acuna, Max Muncy. There's been a lot of guys, a lot of really good players who've gotten off to horrific starts too. So Yelich certainly is not alone in his struggles, and we'll see if he can continue to swing a hot bat like he has here in the last few days.
I don't want to make it sound like I'm breaking down film, like Zapruder film style, but what you said about sort of his mental place is, I think, spot on. That swing, that home run swing he had, there was a lightness to it and a, you know, a reaction to it that's a little different from the frustration we've seen from him. So this definitely bodes well going forward for the offense that desperately needs somebody who can be a consistent contributor. One new part of the offense coming to the big league team for the first time on Monday is Luis Urias. He is back, or I guess he's here for the first time, recalled from the alternate training site. He had been in the COVID-19 protocol and had been building his way up. He didn't get a spring season at all during the restart here, so now he is back and ready to go. The club electing to move on from Logan Morrison, designated him for assignment. Urias in the lineup to play second base in this first game on Monday, with Keston Hira moving to DH. I feel like that's something we're going to see a lot of. Luis Urias is a natural second baseman. I know the plan here is to have him be a shortstop, but especially with Hira struggling defensively, it seems like putting him at DH and having Urias play at second base is kind of a best-case scenario for the Brewers. Do you think we'll see a lot of that given the circumstances we have now with the DH, or do you still see him playing a lot of shortstop?
I think you'll see him at shortstop as well. I think the Brewers definitely, you know, see him as a future shortstop and a guy who, you know, could ultimately replace Orlando Arcia. But it's a good place to get him in, get him started, and you can get Keston Hira some days off of his feet and let him DH. That DH position will go a little bit more into flux once Ryan Braun comes off the IL as well, because you figure he'll get his turn in there too. But I, you know, the thing about the Brewers is they've got options now, which is they didn't exactly have as many before. And to have another option at shortstop, I think, is big, because I think we've seen so far that, you know, Eric Sogard struggles with you know, making throws from deep in the hole. His range is not the greatest. He, you know, he's serviceable, gets you through a game, but on a game-by-game basis, you really do see the defensive difference that Orlando Arcia provides, and I'm anxious to see if Luis Urias' defense is up to that kind of caliber. You know, if he does have that kind of arm, if he does have that kind of range, if he does, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, he still needs to show that he can hit, but you know, certainly he's going to be glad he's back. The Brewers are certainly glad he's back, because it's been a long, frustrating path to get to this point. I don't think anybody would have expected, you know, Urias's debut with the Brewers to come in early August once spring training started.
Yeah, and here is defense. You obviously give him a little bit of a pass because he's been a work in progress, and he hasn't, like everybody else, hasn't had a typical schedule. So the foibles we've seen in the field are understandable. He's made a couple really terrific plays at second base, really some, you know, star-worthy plays in your scorebook. But I think just overall, he's got such a long way to go. I know this team is going to keep working on him. They're going to try to get him to be a major league ready second baseman. But what have you seen from him defensively? I mean, are you seeing progress, you think, or is it still, are they still kind of stuck in the mud with getting him to, you know, sort of consistently get after routine plays?
I think there's progress being made. It's just, you know, Craig Counsell said it repeatedly, and I totally agree with him. It's just a matter of game action and reps for him. You know, he had played fewer than 1,000 minor league innings at second base before he was called up to the majors. And, you know, he's got, I think last when I looked, you know, 700-800 innings or something like that at second base in the majors now. You know, that's not a lot. And for a guy who was basically handled with kid gloves his first year and a half in the minors anyway because of that elbow issue, you know, it's just a matter of reps and drilling it in and doing the basics and doing the fundamentals and making the easy play look easy. You know, I think sometimes he gets himself in trouble because his footwork gets a little messed up, or his throws get away from him a little bit, as we saw the other night in that Reds game. But you see the physical talent is there. He made a tremendous diving play on the shift in Chicago to rob Yoan Moncada of a hit. And yesterday he made another one as well in the shift going to his right. So the talent is there. Obviously, as bad as what's always going to be his calling card, but even if he can become an average fielder, that will be huge and, you know, kind of round his game out. I think most people recognize him already as, you know, one of the next kind of up and coming young, exciting hitters in the National League. And, you know, if you can round out that glove and at least not be a negative in the field, you're looking at definitely a potential all-star type player down the line.
He's one of those guys who does strike out a lot. The Brewers offense in general has struck out a lot, and I'm sure they'll try to bring that down for him and for everybody as well. Switching to the pitching side, Brewers have had quite a bit more success on the pitching side. And one of the guys, taking the risk of recording this right before a game starts, so this could maybe blow up on us because Adrian Hauser is pitching on Monday night. But Adrian Hauser's been pretty dang good. And I know we've been aware of him for a while and always thought he could be that next step. I know Tom Haudricourt, you know, your partner on the beat, wrote a story looking at how Adrian Hauser could be, you know, really in line to make a leap forward this year and be kind of that strong number two starter in the rotation. Certainly, I think we've seen that so far from him as a supplement to what Brandon Woodruff is offering. What are you seeing from Adrian Hauser? Where has this uptick come from, and is it sustainable? I mean, are we looking at a guy kind of blossoming before our eyes?
Well, again, it's experience, and it's a guy that's finally knows where he stands. You know, he was one of those pitchers who was caught kind of in limbo the last several years. First, he was coming off Tommy John, and then, you know, on the AAA shuttle going back and forth, starting, relieving. It's really hard to find yourself when you don't really have a defined role. And, you know, he was good early last year relieving, you know, got a chance to start some games and kind of hit his stride. And now you look at him and the physical, again, the physical talents are there. A guy who can throw in the mid-90s. He's got a real heavy sinker, gets a lot of ground balls. He's not necessarily a strikeout pitcher, but just kind of a big hoss. And a guy who, you know, people always talk about, you know, the bouts of nausea and vomiting on the mound and everything. It's always going to be attached to him. But to me, he strikes me as one of those guys that just kind of got a low heartbeat. He's just really low-key. It doesn't seem like much gets to him. Anybody who's interviewed him, I think, would agree with that. He's just a very low-key, unassuming guy. And I think he's somebody who's really happy about the opportunity that he finally has. And you look back at that blockbuster trade, you know, the four pieces that came over from the Astros, and, you know, Hauser was almost a throw-in, and he did pitch a couple innings out of the bullpen later that year. It was 2015, or maybe it was the year after, 2016, but he came up pretty quick and pitched a few innings out of the bullpen, and then you didn't see him for a while. He's back down to the minors and he blows out his elbow. So, you know, he has the potential to be a mid rotation guy, solid guy, guy that can eat up innings for you. And that's nothing to turn your nose up at. It's something that all teams need. And certainly the Brewers are glad to have him.
Corbin Burns, another interesting case. He worked five innings of relief, struck out eight guys, looked really, really good a couple nights ago for the Brewers, and we've talked about him a lot, but this is sort of the point where it'd be nice to be able to go into a clubhouse and really just sit down with a guy and get a sense of where he's at mentally, because I think we all sort of see that as part of the equation here, that he's had such dominant physical gifts that we haven't, you have to assume the mental picture is part of it for him, why he's struggled at times so dramatically after having some success as well. I'd be curious to know if like he's expecting to be this type of pitcher role wise for the rest of the season, where he's a reliever who's going to go like 3, 4, maybe 5 innings. There aren't many games where you're going to get that opportunity, but what have you seen from him? I mean, it sure seems like he's become as reliable an option as they have in the bullpen.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing you notice is just his stuff is so nasty. You know, that's not different. That's what, you know, got him up to the major leagues quickly. Obviously in a different role to start when he was coming out of the bullpen. He had been pegged as a starter. We all know about his struggles last year, and we also all know about how Craig Counsell's creative with his pitching. And, you know, this year all bets are off as far as how teams are utilizing their pitching with the short season and everything. And he's a real weapon. He's a guy that can come out of a bullpen and pitch five innings, give you five strong. He's a guy who can start games too, obviously. I think it's been positive that in the several outings that he's had, he has not fallen victim to the home run ball, which was obviously a huge deal for him last year, huge mental hurdle to get over. And sometimes the bouncing back and the not having the clear-cut roles will mess with a young guy's mind. You know, some guys need that clarity, and some guys need to be told, you know, this is what you're doing, focus on this, and do the best that you can. And obviously not all things are black and white like that in baseball. And, you know, he's in one of those situations where it's just kind of take the ball when you are given the opportunity and go throw lights out. And for the most part, he has. So, credit to him for not basically going to pieces after how badly things went for him last year. And he took ownership of that. He did everything the Brewers asked of him, went back to the minors, got himself a sports psychologist, came in refreshed and with a good attitude about things, and it looks like it's paying off for him. So, assuming that all continues, he'll be one of the real success stories here of 2020 for the Brewers.
Before I let you go, just sort of open mic, I guess. Anything else? Any other players that have really jumped out at you at this point? I mean, we've seen a good outing from Josh Lindblom. Brent Suter's had some appearances. Eric Yardley is a guy that we wrote about at jsonline.com. He's become pretty reliable against right-handed batters. Anybody else that or the intriguing storyline that you're keeping up on as we head into a new week?
I'm just gonna do some little quick hits. All right, I'm just kind of going down the roster. Starting with the pitching, obviously Eric Lauer's outing the other night was not what anybody had hoped for or expected. It's interesting talking to him after the game on Zoom, and he mentioned several times about how he just was not on the same page with Omar Narvaez as far as pitch selection, and he needs to be more forceful, I guess, in his belief that, you know, the pitches that he needs to throw to succeed are what they need to do. Apparently Omar was calling for more cutters. Lauer didn't like that. I asked Counsell about that the other day, and he basically said, well, Eric's the one with the ball, so he's the one who needs to make the calls here. And if that's what he's comfortable with, then that's what he's got to do. So whatever next opportunity he gets, it'll be interesting to see if he is, you know, more on the same page with Omar. Will Manny be behind the plate, Manny Pena? That bears watching. Another guy, David Phelps, I think has been interesting. He's already clearly become one of Counsell's favorites. He's, to me, he's kind of overtaken Corey Knebel in that eighth inning guy leading to the ninth for Hader in close games. And you can see why. His velocity's up. He's a veteran guy. He doesn't get rattled. He's got a good repertoire. And, I think he's so far been everything that the Brewers were hoping when they signed him. He was kind of an unheralded signing, not really too much to get excited about at that point, but he could if he keeps pitching the way he has been, he could prove to be, you know, a real steal for them this year. And Devin Williams is another guy who to me has stood out. his changeup. Everybody raves about that changeup, and it really is such a nice of change pitch to that mid to high 90s fastball that he has. It's such a change that you know, he can get away with it and dominate as a two pitch pitcher, as a reliever. So that's a guy that I think many fans should be high on and happy about as well. We wrote about Eric Yardley the other day, a little sidearmer, a guy is totally unassuming, shorter guy, doesn't really even look like a ball player when you stack him up to next to some of the beasts that you know, that do play the game, but you know, is leading the team in appearances, and he does it a different way. You know, he throws high 80s. He's kind of a right-handed suitor, but sidearms it and has been very effective. So those kind of guys you root for, they're interesting to watch. He's got a good story, and we'll see if he continues. And then, you know, the last guy I would mention is Mark Mathias. You know, what a first week he had. And, you know, he comes up, gets in the lineup, first major league hit. All of a sudden, he has a four-game hitting streak. He's playing the outfield. He's driving in runs. So he's really been a good contributor for the Brewers one week in. And we've seen him mostly in the outfield to this point, but another guy who plays a multitude of positions, can do a multitude of things. And, you know, a guy that just kind of persevered through the minor leagues and has finally gotten his chance, and it's good to see him take advantage of it.
I'll be curious going forward. The power numbers have been pretty low for the Brewers, not just Yelich and Hira, who have, you know, have certainly done their part. I think 4 and 3 home runs apiece, but we haven't seen Omar Narvaez or Smoke. You know, Smoke's got one home run, but Avisail Garcia, you know, we haven't seen guys really pound the ball out. And if this team is built around power, given that they're going to strike out a bunch, that'll obviously be something to watch as well. He is Todd Rosiak. He is the Journal Sentinel beat reporter covering the Milwaukee Brewers. Find everything he has, along with Tom Hodricourt, at jsonline.com. Todd, thank you for joining us. We'll check. We'll catch you again next week.
JR, always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure. Here's my conversation now with Chris Mehring. Mentioned him at the outset. Works for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. He's going to give some insight here into what's going on in Appleton, the alternate training site. A lot of guys who could be with the Brewers at some point this season, trying to stay fresh and loose as this very strange season unfolds. Here we go. My guest is Chris Mehring. You may know him as the radio voice of the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. He wears a lot of hats, actually, with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers organization, and he has been hanging around the park fulfilling various duties as the Milwaukee Brewers alternate site crew has been in action, the remainder of that 60-man player pool. And Chris is kind of here to help us get a sense of what's going on in Appleton up there in the Fox Cities, and how players are staying in shape, staying involved, what sort of things are, I guess, what sort of tasks have to be fulfilled every day. So Chris, we'll start with what tasks have to be fulfilled on your end every day. Give us the full job description of who you are with the Timber Rattlers organization, what you do, and especially right now, what things, I think even the tarp is something that you have a lot to do with. So give me the whole rundown.
Well, my official job title is Media Relations Director and Radio Announcer. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of radio announcing going on right now. But I'm, you know, just an unofficial team historian as well. So, but the main thing I'm doing right now is handling any media requests that come in from our local media, setting up interviews with players that they want to talk to, kind of keeping watch of where they're shooting their highlights from, and just dealing with different requests like that. Also, I am trying to give updates when possible on either my own Twitter or the Timber Rattlers Twitter on what's going on the field, you know, and just not giving pitch-by-pitch updates or inning-by-inning updates, but if anything interesting happens, like if Mario Feliciano hits a couple of home runs in the scrimmage, I'll put that out there and just kind of keep people updated on who's pitching each day and some interesting things that are going on the field when they're happening. So basically, I'm just kind of filling in wherever it's needed and whatever makes sense, and trying to help out the Brewers Media Relations Department and giving some people an inside look at what's going on up here at the ballpark.
The image I have in my head of how this looks is really just basically what the intra-squad games were for the Milwaukee Brewers before the start of the season. I imagine it's maybe abbreviated to 7 innings. Maybe it goes to 9, you know, 4 outs in an inning occasionally, just sort of a very loose set of competitive circumstances. I don't know if that's accurate or not. Can you give me a sense of what you look at when we're watching those guys in action in Appleton?
If anyone saw the Blue and Gold series on Facebook Live or however they followed the Brewers games at Miller Park getting ready for at their summer camp, that's very accurate with what's going on here, JR. There is a little bit more involved before all the games happen. I mean, they do have a full day. I mean, they get in for they had to be in for an intake at 1 o'clock today, where they get tested and have their temperatures taken and all that. And then they're starting to do some early work right now at 2 o'clock. The actual on-field workout doesn't start until 3, where they'll do stretching and playing catch, and some of the pitchers will be doing bullpens. The hitters will take batting practice. And then there'll be either a simulated game or a full scrimmage. And the full scrimmage is a little tough because they don't have enough position players for 2 teams. And we've had some coaches playing some infield spots. And there have been times where, I mean, Ethan Small the other day, he retired the first 2 batters he faced, and the Brewers wanted him to pitch with some runners on base. So they had one of the guys that made out go out and at first and just kind of simulate the runners on base. So we've had, 5 up, 5 down innings. We've had innings stopped with 1 out and a couple of runners on. It's not really being kept score, but we do have, it's competition to get guys sharp and keep them ready. In the case of some guys that could be called up to the big leagues in case of an injury or anything else happens, that keeps them going. And then we have some of the prospects down here that are trying to get work in so they don't miss a full year of development. And it's really interesting to watch and see how they put all the puzzle pieces together.
And you guys are getting some of that piped in crowd noise, right? Is that happening during these games?
Oh yeah, we're getting crowd noise. They started playing walk-up music. They have added a PA announcer. I'm not sure who it is, but the rumor is that it's Bobby Wall, and he has been.
That's incredible.
The one that was hilarious the other day was Hedbert Perez, who is 17 years old, has joined us here in Appleton, and. Whoever was the PA announcer just made an announcement. We have a lost child. Hedbert Perez, your mother is looking for you. She's very worried. Please turn up at Fan Assistance Center. So, and that got a good laugh out of everybody. But they're trying to get the full game experience, which is a little tough without a crowd and, without stuff going on like that. But the competition is there, and everybody seems to be handling it very well.
Might be a little too in the weeds, but just my own curiosity. Are they wearing Timber Rattlers uniforms? Are they Brewers uniforms?
No, they're wearing their Brewers blue jerseys, just kind of like what they were wearing in spring training, or just like what the Major League guys wear. So they're not wearing Timber Rattlers jerseys.
Got it. So what is your understanding of the off-the-field situation for these guys, the quote-unquote quarantine? We know Major League Baseball just put in a bunch of pretty significant additions to their rule book that sort of tighten up where players are allowed to go and what sort of interaction they're allowed to have. I mean, are these guys living close to the stadium? Are they just staying in hotels in Grand Chute? And are they given any freedoms whatsoever? We heard Mark Mathias joke that Perkins was one of the best things going in Appleton, which may or may not be true. But these guys, I'm guessing, have pretty limited itineraries while they're there.
Yeah, I mean, most of the guys I've talked to, they just hang out in their room and play video games or watch baseball or do whatever they can. Clayton Andrews says he's burned through some Netflix accounts. Corey Reyes playing a lot of video games. I asked Mario Feliciano today what he was doing, and he just said, I just stayed in my room. So, I mean, that's kind of what they're doing. I know the Visitor and Convention Bureau took a little umbrage with the Perkins because there are some really good restaurants. If Mark had asked me, I could have given him some great places for takeout. But the I think everybody knows what's at stake. You know, and I think with the police act situation in Cleveland, I think that really opened a lot of people's eyes too. So they're just basically hanging out at the hotel, ordering out for food, coming to the ballpark, and then going back to the hotel. I mean, basically, it's kind of like what you do in baseball season, except you can't go out and have a couple of beers after the game or anything like that. I mean, it's just ballpark, hotel. And it's, you know, it can get monotonous. But like I said, I think everybody knows what's at stake here.
I'm not going to try to, you know, try to get you to do scouting reports exactly of some of the players you've seen, but I know Mario Feliciano's hit a couple bombs. Anybody else? You know, maybe that's the guy, a guy who's really, really opened some eyes for people there. Anybody else have a do something that really caught your eye?
Thomas Dillard has hit some really long home runs, and I do get a chance to take a peek at the TrackMan video every once in a while, and he has hit some hard line drives that are well over 100 miles an hour, and that's something. And plus, on top of that, he's basically learning how to catch again. The Brewers drafted him as a catcher. He's played some first, played some third, but he's mainly been the catcher. The pitcher that has really stood out has been Antoine Kelly. He is just—he's had really nice velocity. He's mixed in some good breaking stuff. And Antoine Kelly was a second-round pick last year. He made one start with the Timber Rattlers in 2019, and I have a feeling we would be talking about him having a great season with Wisconsin had we had a 2020 minor league season. But Antoine Kelly is going to be an exciting name for people to check out. And Drew Rasmussen has really lit up the radar gun too, and it might not be too long before he's up to help out the Brewers in the bullpen. And those are just a few of the names to bring up, but there's been a lot of guys that have been really impressive down here.
Definitely two guys that we brought up on this podcast, Rasmussen, that I think we all expect to see him at some point this season with the Big League Club. And Antoine Kelly's a guy I threw out there. He's super young, and you know, the Brewers aren't going to see him at the Big League level for a couple of years yet, but pretty exciting stuff, exciting velocity for a guy that young. So I am personally excited to see him. Chris, for people who don't know Appleton very well, can you kind of give a sense of what it's been to not have Timber Rattlers baseball in that community? I know that stadium is kind of on the edge of town, and it could probably, you know, for some people, I'm guessing Appleton minor league baseball isn't all that big a deal, but it's also, you know, it's a middle-sized town, Appleton is, where, you know, it is something that people can do on a summer night, and it is something that people I know are aware of. What is your experience, just from a community perspective, what it's been to not have minor league baseball this season?
I think everybody wants baseball to be going on up here. I mean, we'll post some stuff on our Facebook page. We just kind of put something out on our 2020 t-shirts on a lark, just kind of a fun thing. And people like said, where can we get these? And we're like going, well, I guess we better try to figure out how we can get these for people because they really want to support the Timber Rattlers. And that's the other thing we have done. You know, when we announced that the first couple of months of the season were postponed and people were wondering what they could do to support us, we were, you know, we're kind of run like the Packers, where people can buy like a stock, you know, in the team, and those went very well. We did a stock sale kind of earlier in the season, and fans just kind of jumped up and supported us with that. You know, we're a year-round facility now with our banquet upstairs, and we've hosted a few weddings and wedding receptions since the go-ahead has been given to start having some of those things again. We hosted a high school all-star series a couple of Sundays ago, and that turned out extremely well, despite, you know, a very long 3-hour rain delay in there. But the fans turned out to just watch baseball. But I think everybody misses having the Timber Rattlers around. They definitely missed having the Brewers around for most of the summer until right now. And, you know, the Timber Rattlers own a team in the North Woods League down in Fond du Lac, and we've been able to play games down there in front of limited crowds, and we're drawing you know, 400 people a night, which might not sound like a lot, but that's all the tickets that can be sold at the ballpark on the campus of Marion University. So I think people just want to have baseball back and be able to go out and do stuff. And hopefully we're looking at a great 2021 once this is all over.
His name is Chris Merring. If you don't know him, then you haven't listened to any Wisconsin Timber Rattlers baseball on the radio. The excellent radio announcer for the Timber Rattlers, also the media relations director there, again, wearing many, many hats. I'm like I said earlier, my understanding is you're on tarp duty, so I guess I better let you go so you can get back to it with inclement weather in the forecast as we record this, right?
Well, that was earlier. Somehow the rain has all missed us. It's funny. We put the tarp on last night at 6 o'clock. We had to drive up from Fond du Lac to put the tarp on at six after the game down there. And it barely rained overnight. And then, we took it off a little bit, put it back on, and now it's off. And now the team is starting to practice and, looking forward to seeing what the team can do today. But, I still have my tarp clothes on. I haven't changed into my work clothes at all today. I'm just kind of walking around with my Tommaso Ciampa t-shirt, trying to get, avoid some weird looks from people around the stadium.
Stay safe out there. The Washington Nationals tarp crew has put all tarp crews on notice around baseball. So, good luck if you...
Yeah, that was the discussion today while we were pulling tarp, and we're like going, okay, let's not do that. But, I've been there for that. I've seen that before, and I just feel for all of those guys out there because it's once you lose control of that tarp and it's pouring down rain, that can become a very long 30 seconds to a minute.
Definitely. Thank you, Chris, for joining us. We will chat with you again sometime down the line.
All right. Sounds good, JR. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you.
That's what we got on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast today. We'll join you again next week. Myself, Tom Hodricourt. We'll try to line up a couple guests going forward, you know, before the season winds up here. We've only got 6 weeks to go here before things are toward the playoffs, assuming things like the situation with the St. Louis Cardinals get ironed out where they're able to play enough games and we don't have any tweaks to the schedule. Again, for Todd Rosiak and Chris Merring, my name is J.R. Radcliffe. You can find us on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can check us out on Twitter. I'm at J.R. Radcliffe. That's Radcliffe with an E on the end. He, Todd Rosiak, is at Todd_Rosiak. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. We'll talk to you again real soon.